Hello and welcome again. We are so excited every week to be able to get together and share the Christ life with you. And we're so appreciative of you joining us week after week. We're launching a brand new series today, and we're kind of excited about this. We're excited about life in general, I'm sure. But the series title is Big. And we just, Big. And because, again, we're on a camera thing, and so we can't just be as bombastically big as we'd like to be. But here's the reality. There are some concepts, there are some truths, there are some things that more typically are undersold in Christianity, especially. And the idea of eternity, the idea of the full life that God has promised to us, the enormity of the actual plan of God, because his plan is not just for time. It's not just this little tiny piece that we have. I understand why we're most interested in that, but it's much bigger than that. It's huge, as a matter of fact. It's beyond our capacity to fully understand, and yet it's true. It's real. And so, and because we're in Texas, bigger is better. Yeah. And so the series title here is Big. This is just the idea. When you think about God, when you certainly think about the concepts that we're going to examine here from the book of Titus, that idea of big, we just want to get that through to you. That's the big idea, if you will, that God is huge. He's big. And so we're praying that God will help us to treat this in the manner that it deserves to be treated, because this is a huge truth. Yeah. This is a huge idea. And in the series, we're going to talk about, we're going to take the scripture from Titus. I'm going to read in just a moment, but we're going to take this scripture and we're going to look at it sort of piece by piece, if you will, because there's a big picture that we think is incredibly important to have. We've got to get a handle on the big idea, the big picture that God has, because that then does something inside of our souls. When we see the enormity of the reality that God has for us, then there's a motivation that takes place inside of us. We kind of, in fact, it's the most natural question to ask. When you see this, you go, oh, wow, that's so big.
Yeah.
That's so huge. Where do I fit in to all of this? And what is my participation in all of this look like? So that's really what the big motivation is about. And then we're going to examine the big difference. And I love this particular one, Rich, because, you know, if our Christianity and our living in Christ doesn't look different than everybody else in the world, then we ought to just ship it in right now, because that's no Christianity at all. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be weird or unusual or goofy, but outstanding in this way, that there is a difference in how we live. And it's a big difference, a big difference. And then the big impact. There's a reason we're here. We're here to not just be different, but to make a difference as well, to impact a world that is growing increasingly more anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-faith, anti-church, even anti-love and care. And in that world, we are called in the Christ life, especially, to make an impact. We're supposed to live differently and love and serve differently. And all of this we do in light of the big finish.
Yeah.
Whatever we're doing today, we'll end this series at some point. But honey, this isn't the end. There is a bigger day ahead.
Yeah. When you big does make a difference.
Yeah.
In a lot of parts of your life. So as you're talking, I'm thinking about different areas of big. And I don't know, a couple of years ago, I went to the restaurant store, and there hanging on the shelf was this big frying pan. And when I saw this big frying pan, I went, I have to have that. because
only a person who knows how to cook would ever do that.
Because so I come home.
Yeah.
And it's not that my wife doesn't know how to cook. My wife just doesn't like to cook.
Right.
And she looked at the pan and she just went.
I can see.
Because she didn't get it.
Yeah.
She didn't understand it. So many people, when you talk about big, and God. They just don't get it. Yeah. And so from the pan standpoint, when we have guests over and they, and whether it's friends or family and it's breakfast time, I cook everybody's breakfast. In fact, you could, I'm not inviting you. You can come to my house and in this pan, you can cook your eggs, your potatoes, and your side meat all in the same pan. You don't have to think small. Yeah. You can, things can come together and all come out right at once. Yeah. And that, when you understand how enormous the eternal God is and his plan, it makes all the difference. And that's really where we want you to go with us. And in Titus 2, it says it this way. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, until our waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." Now, if you're not careful in this scripture, you're just going to look at all of the don'ts, and the enemy's going to, you live wrong, you're always wrong. But all that becomes secondary. It becomes kind of more and more of background noise in our life when you really see the big picture. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what challenge that you're facing in your life right now. When you understand the big picture, then what happens is you live with a sense of hope. Paul, in this writing, he says that we're to be a people waiting for the blessed hope. What's the blessed hope? The appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. That's the thing that we're going after. And if you think that this life and the focus of this life is going to make you happy, you may happen to come across a happy day or two or a month or so, but you're not going to live a life of expectancy. You're not going to live a life full of joy because you can't do that looking at this life. People all over the world, they're looking down. They're looking at their feet thinking that that's where the hope is going to come from. If I can walk to the right job, if I can walk out the right career, if I can marry the correct spouse and have the right kids, then all this is, no, that's just looking at this life, this earth. And really, that's small. That's so small. But when you do what Jesus says, he says to look up. When you look up and you see that there's something greater, then you find that all the hope that you need is not found at your feet, it's found at the master's feet. All right, now I can move towards something. And so I want to just give a little bit of a portrait, because we live in a day where, you know, you may be going, okay, but when is the Lord coming back? When's he going to come back? Is he going to appear in my lifetime? And so there's a lot of arguments about, is Jesus going to come at the beginning of the tribulation, middle of the tribulation, end of the tribulation? What does that even look like? I really encourage everyone in these things just to take the pan theory. It's going to all pan out. You don't have to worry about that kind of thing. But it is a big question, because here's where a lot of believers, a lot of people who ascribe their lives towards a religious belief, they're all about looking for the return of Jesus to escape something. Just get me out of this misery. Just get me out of this. And because they believe that ultimately that in order for Jesus to appear, he's already gone.
Yeah. That's that blessed hope that he talks about. It's an interesting concept, because, you know, it's only blessed for a certain group of people, yeah. You know, and you mentioned, you know, if you're living your life in a suffering kind of capacity, let's put you in a positive light, that you're a believer in a very difficult part of the world. Some of the believers who are right now in Afghanistan, mm-hmm. for whom we've been praying diligently, and we should all be praying diligently, they're in a really difficult situation. Mm-hmm. They're in a harrowing circumstance. And so to escape from that, to look forward to some end to that, where the Lord will come back and rescue and save, that is a blessed hope. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of people, the coming of the Lord, they look at it as like, this would be an interruption. You know, God has a time. He gets a day. He has a place.
you know, we go to God's house, we visit him on Sunday, you know, but the rest of the week, we just kind of, we're on our own. We do our own thing. We live our own way. And so it's really a kind of an intriguing lethargy that we have fallen into because we don't understand the reality of this scripture, that there is, in fact, an eternal component to this. Christ is eternal. God's plan for us is eternal. There is an eternal reality to this. And so in the eternity where God creates humankind and then humankind falls, and then God is going to restore humankind, there's got to be an intervention. There's got to be someone who comes along. And that's really what the story of Christ is. That's the reality of the Christ. He comes to save us from ourselves, from his judgment on our lives that we justly deserve. But then he's coming back again as well. And so, you know, at some level, he's never left.
Yeah.
But at some level, he's come and he's coming again. And so we need to wrestle with this because it's a huge idea. And it's a wonderful heavenly idea. We were laughing about it, musing about it just lately, but in fact, in preparation for this. And the phrase used to be used, it's not used much anymore because when's the last time you heard anybody but us talk about heaven and eternity and the eternal life? Everybody's focused now on, you know, have a better family, have a better life, have a smoother road and all of this other nonsense. But there used to be the phrase that was used to mock people at some level that they're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And I don't know about you, Rich, but I've lived now with Christ and in this form of the Christ life in ministry for 50 years. That's a long time. And I've never met anybody yet who is so really possessed by the truth of eternity that their life on earth is just meaningless. That's just not true. But I have met tens of thousands of people who are so earthly minded that they're not much eternal good. For them, the coming of the Lord is not going to be a blessed hope. It's going to be a frightening judgment. A frightening reality for them. The Matthew talks about people who are going to say, well, when they see the Lord, when they're standing before him in judgment as judge, we did this and we did that. And we thought that we had all of this really cool stuff going on with you. And Jesus is going to say, I don't even know you. We have no relationship. Wow. So it's an interesting concept. He is, but it's a big concept. It's right. An eternal concept.
Yeah, and I think when you think about is Jesus coming back and really has Jesus ever really left?
Exactly.
It really has to do with what we would say is realms. Jesus left his realm and came into our realm. And then he left, sent his spirit into our realm.
Yes.
And what that did is it allows us in the spirit to move into his realm. He's coming back into our realm and it's going to come together. The two realms will come together. And I think that when you take a step back and you begin to look at the big picture, it really is this master plan that God has put into play where, you know, there's this eternity past and there's this eternity future. And there's just so much we don't know about eternity past and eternity future. Just the whole realm of eternity. We're these finite beings looking out into this eternal realm. And we're just incapable of really wrapping our mind around that whole concept. And I know people have tried over the ages, but try as you will, you're only going to get so far because we'll spend 10,000 years times 10,000 years getting to know this great and glorious God that has invited us into this wonderful relationship. So here's this eternal God who creates everything that we see and the things that are unseen. He creates that out of his spoken word. And it's not as we see it today because he created it perfectly. And he knew that sin would come along and sin would fracture this beauty that God created. And so in everything that we create, everything that we formulate, because it's broken by sin, it has this positive side. Say, for example, you've got the beauty of nuclear power, But because we're in a fallen, broken, fractured world, there's nuclear waste. And God didn't create it that way. God created us in a way to where there didn't have to be that negative side effect. But the biggest negative side effect is it separated us away from this relationship that existed with the eternal God. And so in the fullness of time, scripture says Jesus came, and he came and he opened up a way, he created a way for us to move back into relationship, because God is first and foremost a relational God. You see early in scripture, God is always moving towards man. And there seems to be this gap because man just kind of goes this way, but he once again moves towards humanity, and he does it in the form of Jesus Christ and lives a sinless life and then dies on the cross, takes our sin upon him. He becomes our sin. And all the wrath of God is put out on him. And yet, while he goes to the grave couldn't hold him. He's raised from the dead, and he becomes the first fruits. Now we look forward to being able to move into this realm of a body that doesn't decay, that doesn't get old. The older I get, the more steps it takes for my body to get working in the morning. I look forward to a glorified body that doesn't have those kinds of issues that come on because of aging and sin. And I look forward to that. But the reality is in this whole big master plan, he gives this dispensation of grace, this period of time where more and more people can move into his realm by faith and receive his spirit. That time is coming to a close. We look at the seasons, we look at the days, and we understand that there's going to be a day where his spirit isn't going to be operating the same kind of way. And this is where you get to the end of this age, and you move into where I believe when Paul talks about in Thessalonians that there's going to be this moment where the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain will be caught up to ever be with the Lord. This is a milestone for humanity's age, where now those that have been in a living, loving, learning relationship with Jesus Christ, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, is going to be transformed. I don't know how quickly we're going to be transported, but I know the Bible says that we're going to be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be transformed from that which is corruptible to that which is incorruptible. And I look forward to and long for that moment. And there are times I'm just sitting in my house and I'm just pondering the things of the Lord. And I begin to try to imagine the power surge that is going to come on my being in that moment. Yeah. And then you read in a number of different places in scripture, Revelation giving probably the biggest picture, but also and you can read in the book of Daniel, can read the book of Ezekiel and get these different pictures of this inner time where God begins to pour out his judgment and wrath upon this earth. And he begins to, and here's what an important thing I want you to hear is that he takes this momentary time, we'll say it's 7 years, and he's judging, but really what he's doing in his judging, he's making things right. Because it doesn't matter if you are in America or you're in England or you're in Zimbabwe or you're in Brazil or Asia, it doesn't matter. There are these three systems that are in play that God just totally destroys and makes right. There's political systems, because Jesus is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all of the earth in this realm that we have now. But he also the monetary system that's in play that so drives every part of the world. It's the love of that money is the root of all evil. And so he destroys that. Babylon cries because the ships have fallen and the great wealth has been taken away, because so much about our life is driven by money. But then there's a religious system, and the religious system looks a lot of different ways. Don't have time to get into all that, but he breaks that because it's ultimately never been about a religion. It's been about a person. It's about a relationship with that person, Jesus Christ, and moving into that dynamic. And then the whole earth is going to have this access to the person of Jesus Christ, not just in this place of prayer, because that's certainly still true, but it's literally going to be a physical access that we're going to be able to enjoy. Now, this happens at the end of that 7 years. He comes and he lives on this earth. Jesus will rule and reign in King David's throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And in this 1,000 years, it's important to understand that now sin's not running around. Now, sin may pop its head up now and then, because here's what you find when someone sins. Now you have the King of Kings ruling with an iron scepter. And when sin comes out, sin's done. Sin's not going to have this ability to reign and to move people into. And here's what he's going to do. I don't want you to be in this place, but I really believe that Jesus takes 1,000 years to show every person that has ever lived that thinks they have this excuse. Jesus, if you would have allowed me to live in the right environment, I would have served you. Because there's 1,000 years where it's a perfect environment. And at the end of the perfect environment, the devil's released for a little while. And the number of people that follow Satan at the end of this 1,000 years, it numbers the amount of sand on the seashores. Because it's not your environment. It's a belief in who Jesus Christ is. And so the end of this period of time, there's going to be a judgment. And while there will have already, the judgment for the righteous will have already taken place, I kind of believe in the timeline, if I'm understanding the timeline in scope of eternity, is that that's already taken place. But at the end, everyone who's ever died and never put their faith in the God of heaven, never put their faith in Jesus Christ, they're going to be raised again. And it says that there are books. There's the book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Their name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And their books, though, based on what they did, the amount of hurt, pain, and sin that they did in their life is now going to be judged. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of this time, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And so for all those people that believe that, you know, we got to be careful because the earth is going to burn up. Let me tell you something. The earth's going to burn up by fire, by the God of heaven. And he's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. And here's the beauty. Just like at the beginning, this is a big picture. Just like at the beginning, the God of heaven is going to come and dwell amongst man. And get this last picture, because God is a God of progress. He starts off putting humanity in a garden, but at the end, he puts them in a city. And so I love the city. I love the DFW area. And I just believe there's the parts of that that I just look forward to in the city that will be the city of God. And that really is the big plan. It's the master plan.
It is. It's what a massive mouthful of stuff to try to put out here in just a few moments time. But this is it. This is the master plan. And you sound it at one point when you get to the end, you just see the energy and feel the energy. I'm sure you can as well. But that just light in your eyes of, you know, I'm looking for this city. I'm waiting for this day. This is a part of my hope. I'm feeling the blessing of this hope in my life because it's a reality to us. And you sounded like Abraham. You know, he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. And so this is what faith is really all about. And this is the reality when we look up and when we look kind of ahead into the future and we see the eternal reality. You called it the master's plan. And I love that. It is an eternal plan. And we are a part of this. Everybody who listens to this and everybody that you know, you are a part of this eternal plan. You're going to live forever. But this is the reality. Where are you going to fit in this? It all has to do with how you react with this revelation of the master plan. And so here's our suggestion throughout the whole series, but hear it right here from both of us. This is our art. You need to know the master and you need to live in the plan. You know, you need to know the master and follow the plan to know who God really is and see the enormity and the scope of this. Doesn't mean that you have to be able to comprehend him, but you get to know him. You get to move into him. You get to be saved by his graciousness and receive his spirit on the inside part of your life. You get to begin this eternal life right here, right now, so that you and I can live with this blessed hope. And we'll see as we go through the series how that actually works inside of us. The picture that I have in mind in this is you're given a little tiny piece. If you've ever put a puzzle together, it doesn't have to be a massively large 10,000 piece puzzle. It could just be a small 100 piece puzzle. But when you just get one little piece, this is your moment. This is your time in eternity. This is your current situation. It's really hard to figure out, you know, how that fits. That's why they call it a puzzle. It's a puzzle piece. It fits in here somewhere. But when you have the picture, when you have the understanding of what it all looks like, then that makes this make sense. Mm-hmm. And it takes the puzzle right out of it. Now we have, instead of a question, we have an answer. Yeah. And not only an answer, but a hope, a blessed hope in the name of Jesus.
So we live as a people with hope. Why? Because we see the big picture.
Amen.
And more importantly, we know the plan. But even more important than that, what's bigger than all of that is we know the Master and we live His plan.
Amen.
And so we're believing that for you this week. God bless.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.